At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
The T-Biz podcast delivers tea news that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
The T-Biz podcast and blog connect you directly to experts in the tea lands. Listen as their voices reveal the news, innovations, cultural insights, and consumer trends that most impact the industry. Paired with Tea Journey, a digital magazine for tea enthusiasts, the Tea Biz Portal is a global resource for everyone who loves tea. Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. Sri Lanka is advancing from ozone-friendly to zero-carbon tea. A Kenyan judge orders a review of the sale of Lipton and James Findlay tea estates, and Starbucks is rolling out the Siren Craft System, plus relocating to expand and enhance lives. Q-Trade Teas and Botanicals, one of the biggest tea blenders and packers in the United States, is relocating from Cerritos, California to Houston, Texas, a port city on the Gulf of Mexico. Construction of a state-of-the-art facility in Brookshire is underway with a move-in date in September. The new facility will double the company's temperature-controlled manufacturing space and warehouse up to 7 million pounds of tea and botanicals. That's about 3.2 million kilos. Expanded capabilities include automated packaging, tea and powder blending, micro-reduction capabilities, and expanded 3PL logistics services. Q-Trade CEO Manjeev Jayakumar joins us today to discuss the business and quality of life considerations that led to the move. More in a minute, but first, this important message.
What makes a perfect cup of Ceylon tea? The perfect cup is from the tea businesses that ensure the protection of all the children living within their tea estates. We salute Keilani Valley, Telawakili, Bogawanthalawa, Harana, and Eliptia Tea Estates. Support Save the Children, Sri Lanka.
Tea correspondent Rasika Galena writes that Ceylon tea planters are among the pioneers as the global tea industry shifts towards sustainable and environmentally responsible cultivation and processing. Collectively known for its concern for protecting the Earth's atmosphere and being the leader in ozone-friendly tea production, Sri Lanka is now directing its attention to achieving zero-carbon tea. All tea grown in Sri Lanka is now considered 100% ozone-friendly, a distinction no other tea-producing nation can boast, writes the Tea Board. Quote, plans are now being drawn to impose a total ban on methyl bromide fumigation in export packaging and shipping applications, end quote, according to the board. In 2019, the World Bank praised Dilma Tea for offering a range of carbon-neutral teas certified under the Sri Lanka Carbon Crediting Scheme. In 2024, Bogawanthalawa Tea Estates became the world's first tea-growing manufacturing and marketing company to offer uncompensated climate-positive teas certified for product and facility. VTE Executive Director Lalith Munasangi told the Sunday Business Times, quote, we believe that Sri Lankan enterprises like Bogawanthalawa Tea have the potential to lead the world on climate action. Together with many other regional plantation companies, we have been pioneers in developing a new generation of sustainable plantation industries that can potentially serve as an example worthy of global emulation, end quote. The ozone-friendly status of pure Ceylon tea is one of the most outstanding achievements in recent times. Ozone is a gas consisting of three oxygen atoms instead of two. The ozone layer, high up in Earth's atmosphere, contains large amounts of this gas, which acts as a barrier to ultraviolet light and other high-energy radiation, reaching the Earth's surface from the sun and elsewhere. Quote, these types of radiation tend to be harmful to life, affecting fertility and reproduction and giving rise to birth defects, cancers, and other diseases. Humans and other land animals, crops, and marine life are vulnerable. In addition, the ozone layer's presence in the atmosphere significantly regulates weather and climate, end quote, according to the Tea Board. Alarmed by scientists' warnings, the world's nations met in Montreal, Canada in 1987 to decide upon action to protect this layer. The Montreal Protocol, signed by 191 countries, including Sri Lanka, emerged from this meeting. Under the protocol, methyl bromide used in Sri Lankan tea estates, factories, aboard ships, and in warehouses where tea was stored was progressively reduced and eliminated. Due to prompt and effective action by the tea industry and others, Sri Lanka was acclaimed a leader in ozone layer protection and received the Montreal Protocol Implementers Award in 2007. Since May 2011, all Ceylon tea has been entitled to bear the ozone-friendly Pure Ceylon Tea logo, certifying that it has been produced without using any ozone-depleting substances. The tea industry in Sri Lanka is now undergoing a transformative journey towards achieving zero carbon emissions, a bold commitment that underscores the country's dedication to combating climate change and that inspires others to follow. Kenya Chief Justice Martha Koome will constitute a three-judge bench to hear and determine an appeal seeking to stop the sale of Lipton and James Findlay tea companies to Sri Lanka-based Browns PLC. The appeal to halt the sale was certified as urgent. The Business Standard reports that applicants David Nagasura and 19 others, represented by lawyer Joel Bosick, claims that the tea firms are hastily disposing of several parcels of land without following due process. They claim this move aims to defeat the Kipsigis community's right to property. In his affidavit, Bosick asserts that the multinational tea firms' actions will deny the Kenyan government revenue through stamp duty and capital gains tax payments. Bosick claims that British multinationals are attempting to evade responsibility by engaging in legally questionable land transactions. Quote, the intended exit by Lipton and James Findlay and their purported transfer of interest to Browns of Sri Lanka will deny the Kipsigis and Palai communities their rights to immense profits, land preservation, and land rate collections, end quote. The company should not be allowed to introduce new entities who are not party to the ongoing proceedings in the Environment and Land Court, Bosick claims. Guy Chambers, managing partner and founder of 101 Partners, writes, quote, a key issue is for Lipton Teas and Infusions to stand by their commitment to seek free, prior, and informed consent from the local community on the use or transfer of land in any sale. The fundamental question is not whether the local community consent is required, it clearly is, but how to gain consent. One way to gain consent is meaningful equity participation by the local community. The Kipsigis Community Clans Organization, local cooperatives, and SALCOS teamed up with 101 Partners with an offer to acquire the Lipton estate and transfer the business into community ownership with a professional management team. The community equity ownership model aims to resolve the problems of historical colonial injustices once and for all. However, Lipton rejected this approach and signed with Browns, end quote. Bosick alleges that the British multinationals lack valid titles for most tea estates as the original titles have expired. He argues that approximately 90,000 acres of land were grabbed in 1905, subdivided and allocated to 18 settlers based on race. In 1919, the government appropriated a further 25,000 hectares, resulting in the massive eviction of Kipsigis community east of Carrico Township. Additional evictions by the British government in 1951 saw another 10,000 acres taken from the Kimilot area. Quote, further acquisitions through forceful means have brought the total land under multinational tea companies' control to over 220,000 acres. Without consultation or compensation, the Kipsigis or Talai communities, Bosick says. The applicants moved to the Court of Appeal following dissatisfaction with Judge Oscar Agnotti's April 2023 judgment that quashed the National Land Commission's recommendations, which were set out in a Gazette notice dated March 1, 2019. Starbucks is rolling out sweeping changes behind the counter to serve customers more efficiently and simplify tasks for workers during the daily rush. The changes in routines, the addition of new positions, and digital tools are collectively known as the Siren Craft System, a project begun in 2023. Quote, prior to the Siren Craft System, we were hearing from some of our partners at certain stores that they felt overburdened during some of our busiest times. They didn't have many ways to anticipate that demand or respond, end quote, said Keondi Sheffield, the district manager who oversaw the pilot project. With Siren Craft System, we have an ease of operations. We're more efficient without it feeling difficult. The new procedures build upon the Siren System, a series of equipment and technology improvements unveiled in 2022 to make crafting beverages and food more straightforward for partners. Quote, we started this project in 2023, testing some of these improvements and getting feedback from our partners on what would be most impactful for them, explained Sarah Trilling, Executive Vice President and President of Starbucks North America. Quote, we then really started to look at how we can tackle this latent demand and be more efficient in our stores. We looked at beverage sequencing, beverage routines, and new positions to respond to the demand in our stores and to work through it more effectively while partners feel better supported. It cannot be just about speed, Trilling explains. The goal is to shorten customer wait time while elevating connection, elevating the quality of our coffee, and celebrating the craft of our baristas each and every day. It's got to be all those things, she said. During the busiest times, peak play callers use the digital production management tool to anticipate demand, which will help baristas assess and alleviate bottlenecks before they occur. By the end of May, the system was live in 1,160 stores and will scale nationally to 17,068 U.S. and 1,456 Canadian locations by the end of July. Starbucks operates 38,000 locations worldwide. Next, Arvinda Anantharaman in Bengaluru reports on this week's India Tea News.
India Tea News for the week ending 19th July 2024. Japanese tea brand Ito En is gearing to launch its ready-to-drink green tea brand Oicha in India. Food Navigator Asia reported that in April, Adidas Singapore was appointed as Ito En's exclusive marketing and distributing partner for India. The company has been a category leader in unsweetened ready-to-drink green tea and is available in 40 countries already. Adidas Singapore has said that they see an opportunity to build and develop a market for green tea products in India. In other news, tea prices see rise as production drops, with production severely affected by long drought followed by heavy rains. There is some price increase at the auctions for the last week of June, going up to 217 rupees per kilo, that's $2.61 per kilo, which is about 20% higher compared to last year. Coming months of July to October are the main production season, so it's to be seen how tea volumes compare with prices. Reuters quoted tea planter and former chairman of the tea board, Prabhat Besbarua, saying that average tea prices in 2024 could be 16 to 20% higher than last year. Further, following the government's decision to ban 20 pesticides, buyers are boosting purchases, he said. Between January and April, India's tea exports were up by 37% to 92 million kilos. And CTC markets are mainly Egypt and the UK, while orthodox markets remain Iraq, Iran, and Russia, the top three. And lastly, the Tea Research Association of India, in partnership with Arogya Medisoft Solution, has been testing an AI-based kit for detecting pesticide residue in green tea leaves. This platform uses a core biosensing technology and has been developed by the R&D team at the Center for Development of Advanced Computing and transferred to Arogya for commercialization. The first phase of validation of this platform has now been completed.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Nish. I grew up in an organic tea farm and founded Nepal Tea Collective in 2016. Tea is not just a beverage for me, but a catalyst for social change, sustainably empowering hardworking artisans like my parents for the past 30 years. I'm on a mission to make the whole world aware of the goodness of Nepali teas and the good that comes from supporting growers in this remarkable land. If you haven't tasted Nepali teas yet, you're missing out. Our award-winning teas are making headlines. Find out why. Visit Nepal Tea Collective's website to get a free sample of this extraordinary taste of the Himalayas. That's nepalteacollective.com. Or just send me an email at nish, N-I-S-H, at nepalteacollective.com. Cheers.
Qtrade Teas and Botanicals, one of the biggest tea blenders and packers in the United States, is relocating from Cerritos, California to Houston, Texas, a port city on the Gulf of Mexico. Construction of a state-of-the-art facility in Brookshire is underway with a move-in date in September. The new facility will double the company's temperature-controlled manufacturing space and warehouse up to 7 million pounds of tea and botanicals. That's about 3.2 million kilos. Expanded capabilities include automated packaging, tea and powder blending, micro-reduction capabilities, and expanded 3PL logistics services. Qtrade CEO Manjeev Jayakumar joins us today to discuss the business and quality of life considerations that led to the move. Manjeev was named Qtrade's Chief Executive Officer in 2010, originally a trading company his father founded in his uncle's garage in 1994. Qtrade specializes in sourcing organic and botanicals and has grown to be one of the largest organic tea suppliers and contract manufacturers in North America. Manjeev is a Harvard graduate with a master's in public policy and a degree in foreign service from Georgetown University. Prior to joining Qtrade, Manjeev worked with Goldman Sachs in New York and London. Welcome to the TBiz podcast. It's a delight to have you here. Will you tell us more about the decision to move the company to Texas after 30 years in Los Angeles and how relocating will benefit the business?
Thank you, Dan. It's such a pleasure to be back. I listen to your podcast religiously every Friday morning on my commute to work, so I'm happy to be participating this time around. So let me kind of walk you through the decision-making process. I think the first thing for us was that we realized that we had outgrown our space. So we bought a building here in California and retrofitted it substantially to support the expectations of quality and food safety that prevailed at that time. And if you visit us now, you'd quickly see that we are very crammed and bursting at the seams. And so this is a welcome problem, but it also really made us think about what is the right foundation for the next 20 years or more of our company's growth. And we had to think carefully about the potential for the industry, as well as our place in this industry. Ultimately, you know, it came down to the fact that we needed more space with a more ideal location to support a growing variety of clients so that we can begin to offer more services that we hadn't thought about 10 years ago, you know, and that reflects the the change in the industry, the expansion in the industry, changes in consumer preferences and behavior. And so the number one reason was to build a new platform to support future growth.
One of the things that brings to mind is the expansion of capability, not just in terms of more square foot to accomplish what you're currently doing, but in your thinking, you advanced beyond essentially the basic services that you offer right now. Talk to me a little bit about things like handling powder, about the emergence of RTD. You know, a traditional company like yours is, I'm sure, faced with lots of innovative and interesting client requests. And not everybody has the ability, the facility, and the finances to be able to, you know, meet those needs. So I'm thinking about cold brew, RTD, processing, sourcing exotic herbals that are placed in blends. Tell me about the expansion in the sense of what it allows you to do more than what you're currently doing now.
We start with the foundation, which is clients trust us. And they trust us for a couple of different reasons. One, they trust us for expertise, that we know what we're talking about in the subject matter that is relevant to them. And the second is that we have a history, a demonstrated track record with them to help them deliver upon the outcomes that they're looking for, right? And so that's sort of the foundation. What we quickly realized is that mix of expertise and trusted relationship, there's a missing part to it because the clients want us to do more as well as their own businesses are changing and their own opportunity sets are changing. And, you know, we are able to do this, but we lack the space. We lack the kind of the logistical footprint that we needed to support them. And so we definitely wanted an infrastructure that can be a platform to support future services. So some of the services that we already have plans for our powder blending, and that's really a very new thing for us, but it's not new in that the supply chains are very similar to what we work with currently, as well as the expertise in kind of the purchasing and the R&D that go into building and designing great tasting and functional powdered products already exist. You know, we just didn't offer that service prior to this because we were primarily a Camellia sinensis and associated botanical focus company. And so we hadn't conceived of this market. So this is a market for lattes, breakfast smoothies, functional thick pack. So it's a very different market, but it's actually often the same consumer, you know, that a consumer that is interested in health. It's a consumer that is interested in sustainable products and premium products. And so it's still the same person that our clients already serve that they want to offer more products to. So that's one example. The other is really in the US, we don't have a well-developed ecosystem for microbiological reduction treatments, you know, and that requires space, that requires expertise. And we believe that we will have that capability within this new building that we can incorporate some, not all, but some limited capabilities as well. Organic and specialty tea remains at the core of what we do. It's probably where most of our love and relationships exist. My father still is very attached to that community, and most of our clients remain in that community. And so it's an important community. This change is more to provide that same community with more options. It's not a transition from that community to a different community. That community itself is transitioning, and we want to keep up with them and facilitate that change.
Now, tell me about Houston.
There is two parts to this. There's sort of the black and white part on paper, looking at ports, looking at travel time, looking at, you know, different kind of logistical considerations. But then there is a much more intangible one, which is the dynamism, the openness. And, you know, it's a city on the move. It's a community on the move. And it's been incredibly welcoming. And, you know, we were surprised. And every time we go back to Houston, we discover more and we are happier with this decision. So we believe it is a place that really takes pride in building things. And we're happy to join that community of manufacturing in the United States. And it's a great place to do that. And it's a very central place to do that. And both the community and the government, and we're in Waller County, which is a county just adjacent to Harris County. And it's a mostly agricultural county. And it's been a wonderful place to, you know, set up shop. And they've been so supportive of our business. And maybe most importantly, every person we know met in Houston, and more generally, every person we have met so far in Texas has an iced tea story. it's interesting, actually. It took us a lot by surprise because we certainly, being in California, very exposed to people who love tea and love healthy products and things like that. But when we got to Houston, people really have, it's much more of a family tradition. It's a multi-generational family tradition. Right. And embedded in the culture, it's not a new thing. It's a very old thing that people, it's just part of people's daily life. And that was wonderful. And we are so happy to embrace it. You know, it was unexpected how embedded iced tea drinking culture is to Houston.
How about those hurricanes?
No, you know, the weather is definitely a consideration. We feel we have designed the facility and picked a location that insulates us from some of it, not all of it, but we are still very confident that it's a great place to locate the business.
In your press release, you write that one of the concerns that led to the move is enhancing the quality of life for your team. Quote, "Beyond infrastructure, our company's success depends on the health, energy, and ongoing learning of our team members. Over the past 5 years, the cost of living, particularly housing, has become a substantial pressure point for our team. Home ownership is no longer a viable option for many who do not already own a home in Southern California." End quote.
In some ways, it was probably the hardest decision I have personally made in the last few years because it's trying to boil everything we know about our past and everything we think we know about the future and pick a place, you know. And so far, we're very confident that this is the right place to be. And part of that confidence is, Dan, what you mentioned, you know, the tea community is very close to the coffee community. Our largest clients are coffee companies. And they have been particularly open-minded and supportive and encouraged us to make this move because of what they believed was possible as well, and what they believed about the potential of Houston, both from a workforce point of view, but also just as a city, as I mentioned, that is on the move, it's dynamic, and so that it's an exciting place to build a future in. Because one of the things, then, is that this is both a business decision, but it's also a very personal decision. Mm-hmm. I am relocating, you know, several of our staff members are relocating, building new lives, sending children to school. And so we really wanted a place that our families can thrive as well. And, you know, that was all went into the calculation here.
When I look at Q-Trade, I see a strong presence in organics, which is growing. You're gaining ground in iced tea, which is growing. Powders and mixes like chai do well in convenience and cafes and some coffee shops. And you certainly have a rich history of herbals and infusions. Where's the industry headed?
What do we see in the future? We certainly believe that tea is going to be a fundamental source of beverage refreshment and a healthy beverage. The format it will take is not as clear, but we're very open-minded about supporting the different journeys it appears to be taking. One new thing is really the expansion of Americans' awareness of botanical and that it's making this sort of gradual migration from the early adopters in the natural foods community to more and more mass market. And I think that is very positive, and that is a complementary part to the tea industry. So that's something that we're definitely supporting and building supply chains, especially on organic botanical. We find that there's going to be more growth in those segments. But aside from that, there are definitely technological enabled formats like what your colleague or friend was talking about, delivering premium teas because of certain capabilities in bottling facilities or because of different types of transportation relationships that make it possible. I think those are all exciting and ongoing growth that will be necessary to grow the industry and to engage new generations of people. So, you know, the one big thing I would say is still botanical. It's not a new story in the tea industry, but it's becoming more and more important as people get exposed to it.
Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of tea biz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the Tea Biz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.